So a local charity was doing a fund drive. And they looked around town and they realized that this one banker who had substantial wealth had never given to the fund drive. So the director decided to make a call on the banker at his bank. So the director sits down across from the banker and says, "Our records show that you make about $500,000 a year, and yet you've never given a penny to charity. Wouldn't you like to help the community?" The banker leaned forward, put his elbows on his desk, and pointed at the director and said, "Did your research show that my mother is ill with extremely expensive medical bills?" The director said, "No." The banker continued, "And that my brother is blind and unemployed? And my sister's husband died, leaving her broke with four kids? Did your research show that?" To which the director was speechless. He goes, I had no idea. The banker leaned back in his chair and then said, "So if I don't give them any money, why do you think I'd give you any money?" Hey, today we're talking about God's gifts and talents that have been given to us. And the question is, are we using them simply for ourselves or to the glory of God? So we look in the Gospel of Matthew to find this story. And Matthew was he was a tax collector that God redeemed, that God saved. And Matthew was concerned with showing how this one that he followed, who rose from the grave, Jesus, was the answer to Israel's hope. So he, in his writing his Gospel, looks back across the prophecy of the Old Testament. And in the events he saw in the life of Jesus, he linked them. So that we could see in our modern day times all the moments in which that which was said about the coming Messiah was fulfilled in Jesus, who was the actual Messiah. And so if you want to find out how Jesus relates to the promise of the Old Testament, you read the Gospel of Matthew. He has more Old Testament quotes than almost all the rest of the Gospels combined. Almost, not quite. This section I read to you earlier, Scripture I read to you earlier comes out of a larger section. It comes out of Matthew 21 through 25. This happens after Jesus arrives in the holy city right before his death. And he gives like final instructions to us disciples. And it goes 21 through 25. In that moment, Jesus talks to us about what the kingdom of heaven's like, what's our place in it, and how can we plug in to all of that. He uses a very effective teaching tool known as the parable. The parable is a story that's put alongside a heavenly truth to illustrate that heavenly truth. In the Greek, the word parable means to throw alongside. And so this story, which could have been true, but wasn't necessarily true, is laid upon a heavenly truth that's sometimes hard to understand. And you put looking at the heavenly truth through the parable, we can understand that which aspect of God which is a little deep for us. That's why we look through the lens or the vehicle of the parable. The parable that I read today was the parable we know as the one of talents. It's rich in symbolism. In it, a man goes on a journey, and that man, without a doubt, every time there's someone who goes somewhere who's a figure, like a figure in charge of something, that's always God. And so this person is God. Part of the other reason why we know this is God is because of the vast resources that the man lends or gives to his three servants. We are those servants. So we're one of three servants in this story. The interesting thing is that which was given to the servants is a huge sum. The word talent originally was a measure of weight. It would have been like you go to a store and you buy some flour or a chicken. In order to understand how much it was worth, you'd put a talent on a scale and it would measure out. That's what you would pay. A talent could have been any sum of or any metal like gold or silver or copper. This story has the idea of a talent being something of incredible vast wealth. In fact, the researchers have found that it was probably worth about 6,000 denarii each. So to give you an idea, a denarii is one day's wage. So each talent of 6,000 denarii is worth about 16 and a half years worth of work, each talent. The one who got five talents then has a sum worth about 80 years of worth. You do the math. That's a huge amount. It's like winning that publisher clearinghouse thing. Except the check is not only that big, the money's actually that big. It's huge. Now, the symbolism is that we've been given something incredibly valuable. The gifts and talents that we possess, given to us by God, are amazingly valuable. Now, I share this with you, but realize it's not just like we're all given the same gift. We're given gifts in such a unique measure that makes us unique. Every one of us has a blending of special talents that makes us who we are. And they're given to us only in the measure that makes us who we are. That there's none of us who have that unique blending of talents that you can find, so there's none of us who are exactly the same. Now, these talents, these innate abilities, they're things like you're good at math, or you can sing, and thank you, choir, for that wonderful gift that you gave to us in the anthem. We get this every week, folks. I hope you realize what a blessing we have in our choir. Or it could be something like you're good at organizational skills, or gardening. That's not mine. Some people look at a plant, it grows. I touch it, it dies. I mean, I don't get it. But that's not my gift and talent, okay? Some are good at carpentry. Some are excellent mechanics. You're friendly. That's a gift and talent, by the way. You're a good teacher. You can work with computers. You are a good counselor. You work with people. You get the idea. And these items are given to you in different measures that fit your specifications of what makes you who you are. Now, that's the level of innate abilities. Then you're given spiritual gifts. And by the way, that's what I'm teaching on Thursday nights, is spiritual gift class. But those spiritual gifts are like the ability to preach or teach or, once again, sing or working with our youth or the ability to play the bells. Or you have the understanding of what's good and evil. Those are all spiritual gifts that are given. Now, in the parable that Jesus brings to us, there's five, there's two, and there's one. That leads us to understand that we get different measures of different talents. For instance, Billy Graham on the preaching scale, he got pretty high, right? Mark Sandel, well, not so, all right? You get the idea. Jeff Kleiss is our music director here. Singing ability, I think he's pretty high up there. And we won't compare him against anyone else. That's why I stand away from the microphone. Each are given different talents, different levels, which makes us who we are. Now, the key to the whole parable is, are you using your talents to God's glory? Are they being used to further the kingdom of God? Or are they being used for your own purposes? There's a quote by that anonymous person. It says, a talent is God's gift to you. What you do with that talent is your gift to God. See, the parable tells us that God gives us talent with the understanding, with the responsibility, that we're going to use them to God's glory. And we'll talk a bit more about that, but I've got another quote. The quote goes, everyone who has a purpose in life and a unique talent to give to others, when we blend this unique talent with service to others, we experience the ecstasy and exaltation of the Spirit, which is the ultimate goal of all goals. So when we take that which God has given to us, our spiritual gifts, our innate abilities, and we blend them in service to another, we've reached the ultimate goal of what it means to be a human being, a servant of God. We've done what God's asked us to do. Now, there's a vernacular about this. It's not as poetic as the two I just read, but the vernacular is, if you don't use it, you will, what's the rhyming word? You will lose it. So the key of our abilities, our gifts and talents, is you have to use them and always to the glory of God. Now, I have to tell you, there appears to be a risk in using these. You know, sometimes that's scary. I've got this talent. I don't know if I'm going to walk out in faith. I don't know what will happen. You know, interestingly enough, for a living I speak. That's what I do. But that's not always the way it was. When I went to seminary over 35 years ago now, I was scared to death to speak. I mean, I would have nightmares thinking I had to get up and speak in front of someone, especially doing this, which is preaching. But taking a step in faith, which I did, not knowing how this was going to work out, taking the step in faith, God enriched that. So realize there's no real risk here. The only risk is not using it. That's the risk. The moment we say, I'm going to use my gift and talent, I'm going to use it to the glory of God, God rewards that. God enhances it. God blows it up way bigger than you ever thought it could be. And the end result is making it a better place. The key is, knowing what you have, you're going to develop it all to the glory of God. Let me tell you a cute little story. There was a young couple who purchased an old, run-down, abandoned farm. They were going to make it into one of those organic farms of which everyone could benefit in the community. The problem was, it was a disaster. The farmhouse was in shambles. There was no real fence line. The fields were all filled with weeds. The way of getting in, the road was a disaster. One day, the priest knew that they bought this farm, and the priest shows up and says, well, may you and God work together to make this farm a better place. 3 months went by. The priest comes back, and amazing transformation. Fences all fixed. The farmhouse is almost done. The greenhouse is completed. The road has been paved. The fields are now lush with green vegetation. And the priest said, this is amazing. Look what God and you have accomplished together. To which the farmer's wife said, yes, priest, but remember what the farm was like when God had it all by himself. Now, I say that not to criticize God, but God gives you the basis of your talent. Your responsibility is to develop it. You can't sit here and say, okay, God, make me a great preacher, and one day you wake up. You have to work on that. Or you can't say, God, I want to be a good teacher. You have to study that. Or you can't say, I want to work with young people. You have to make sure you develop that. This is your responsibility now. God gives the talent. Now it's our responsibility to develop it. And remember, it's developing it for the glory of God. Now, the one side piece of this story is that the man comes back. God comes back to bless us, to check on what we're doing. And rightfully so. God has considered us such great, worthy people that he gave us gifts and talents to use. Considered us so valuable stewards that we should develop them. Interestingly enough, the way in which we develop our talents is the understanding of God. The one who had 5 and the one who had 2 saw God as a very generous giver. That God's been more than beneficial to us, and they were going to develop that. The person who had 1 talent, did you hear the words? Saw the man or saw God as a harsh master, an angry person, and thus was afraid to take that step out in faith, was afraid to do anything remotely good for God. And they, in their understanding, squelched their own ability to touch the world. So realize, we develop not only our gifts and talents, but our view of God. That God indeed is a great and glorious master. That God has given us salvation and love beyond measure. That God's the one that sends grace and forgiveness in our lives. And we say thank you, God, by developing our talents and then reaching the world with our talents. Realize that's our responsibility. Now, we don't know how our talents will be utilized. We don't know at that moment that we use them whether they'll be for the benefit or not. All we know is we have to use them. I've had people who have told me across the eras, that word that you said, and they get lists a day and time, I don't remember saying it. I have to be clear, you know, I speak a lot. And they say, boy, that really touched me. So the key is to use your talents for God's glory, not for human glory. Let me give you a closing story that highlights this. It comes out of one of those Chicken Soup for the Soul books. You know, it's like 1,200 of them, it seems like. Well, it tells the story of a young man on a Friday carrying all his books home from school. And as he's walking along and he's struggling with holding them, all of a sudden all the books fall. A classmate comes along and thought it was kind of strange that on a Friday this person's taking all their books home. I mean, after all, you don't study over the weekend anyway. But he stopped and he helped his classmate pick up those books. And then walked with the classmate all the way to his house. When they got to the house, he said, you want to come over to my house? So he asked this young man who had all the books. He said, you want to come over to my house? We'll play some video games. My mom made some cupcakes. We can enjoy time together. So the young man who was carrying all the books said, sure. They went over to his house and they played some video games, had a great weekend. They developed a very, very deep friendship as a result of that. At their graduation, which was 2 years after this event occurred, and it was all said and done, the classmate who was carrying all the books went up to his friend and he made a confession. He said, the day in which I was carrying those books home, I was going to commit suicide because I felt I had no friends in this world. And you showed up at the right time and you saved me. Now, it's interesting. We don't know when our gifts and talents will affect another person. That's why you have to use them all the time, always to the glory of God. Because you don't know, a chance encounter like that could change a human life, or a very powerful encounter can change a human life. That's why we don't make the decision. We just do it all the time. We give that always to the glory of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you call us to use our talents, that the end result is the amazing ability to see deeper into what you've given us to do. We're grateful that you've endowed all of us, that you've blessed all of us with these innate abilities, with these special gifts. Help us to develop them, to do so here in this context of worship, in this context of the church, and then do so individually at home with our families. But we thank you that you call us to use them. To use them in your name, for your glory, for the touching of the world that exists around us, to push back that darkness we find around us so that we can bring your light into those areas. And we're grateful that Jesus did this for us. And so it's in his name that we lift this prayer to you. Amen. 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 Amen.